Wouldn't it be great to have your own small business, right? And when you have that small business, don't you need that support of a big business? Well, let Verizon help champion your small business dream, whether you own a small business or you're scaling one, or maybe even just starting one from scratch. You need Verizon Small Business Days. That's right. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. Paul, what does that mean? It means you can receive a free tech check with one-on-one meetings with a Verizon business expert. Plus, they'll give you personalized advice, solutions that are specific to your small business needs. And you know why? Because Verizon has your back. So don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I got the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink?
This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Just because you are singing words doesn't mean it's a song. You know what that means. We saw Diana the musical, so you know what that means.
Show with it grown and take a bubble speed to hitting cruise control. Jay Lynn, Big Paul, and the beautiful June. Gonna take you from the boom all the way to the room. Renegade the street fighter, help to blow off steam. Just a sucker punch the eye life for Timothy Green. Sharp little birdemic, how we staying alive? They call him when they're badass and he's on the line. Cranking 88 minutes cause they cool as ice. Cause they're bad Jim Barney looking kind of nice. Paul and June getting literal, Jason is getting laid. June is making sure all the there's just a bunch of movies while they're making the grade. Here's a real question for you, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth! And hello, people of Los Angeles! We are live at Largo, our L.A. home. A home where musical theater reigns supreme. Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking about a musical that makes you think that Cats is genius. Truly, watching this, I had so many thoughts, and we're gonna get into those thoughts, but if you did not see Diana, the musical, on Broadway or Netflix, they're the same, with the exception of a couple weird camera angles, that are so jarring to make the audience very unnerved. What do you need to know? Well, imagine a very creative sixth or seventh grader who decided to do a report on Princess Diana and said, I'm gonna make my book report different. I'll make it one where I sing. That's all you need to know. So, it is about that level. It covers the entire life of Diana, or at least from 19 till the end. And wow, they merged some shit together in ways that are shocking. I think she has two babies in the same song. But again, there's so much to get into, and there are two great people to talk about it with. Please welcome to the stage my co-host, Jason Manzoukas!
What's up, jerks? Wow. Wow. Show of hands or clapping, who was here for Stone Cold? Why are we being punished? We saw greatness, and then you give us this? This movie is a war crime.
Jason.
Take this movie to The Hague.
This musical adaptation of a Broadway stage show is a war crime.
You know how I feel about musicals.
I know, you love
them. Never mind failed ones. This is, I looked it up. A Wikipedia entry set to song. That's all it is. Now I'm here doing this. Uh-oh, SpaghettiOs. What? What is this movie?
References. This was pulled from this novel.
Footnotes. Footnote. Ibid.
No.
Ibid.
This is clearly the British Hamilton. I will not take no for an answer about it.
By the way, I would believe that. I would believe, if you told me that the UK had embraced this and it was the biggest musical there, I would be like, those fucking idiots.
The UK even said, fuck this musical. But anyway, there's one person who has seen this musical not once, but twice. She's my other co-host. Please welcome June Diane Raphael. How are you, June?
I'm okay. How are you, Paul?
I'm well. Thank you for asking. June.
Twice?
So, I saw it once. I saw the whole thing.
Live? In the theater?
No. I saw the motion picture, ?
It's a movie.
Is it? I actually want to get into that in a second.
I think legally it shouldn't be defined as a movie.
It's more of like a presentation.
Yes.
I'm telling you, it is a book report set to music. If a sixth grade kid did this, you'd be like, whoa, if you went to school, you might have something.
I don't know the name of any of the actors in it. They're all doing their absolute best.
Absolute best.
But if you told me this was filmed by their parents, I would believe you. If you told me this was filmed by the actor's parents being like, great job, hon, I would believe you, because this felt like absolute nonsense and like a high school production.
I'm going to report from my second viewing right now.
Please.
Okay, so now I'm wearing the hat of someone who's seen it twice. And I got to tell you guys, because I bet everybody just saw it once.
Well, I have heard internet rumors that if you see it twice, it leads to madness.
I didn't see the whole thing twice, but I watched it once, and then I was
just
getting...
Just the best parts?
I was getting ready, and I thought, I'm going to put it back on. And I put it back on, and I genuinely started to enjoy it. So, I don't know.
By the way, June, tell people the how long it took from viewing one to viewing two.
Probably about 4 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, whoa, whoa. Oh, I thought you meant like you saw it weeks ago.
No.
No, today. Today.
This is wild. I suspect that we could have you legally institutionalized.
Okay.
We could 5150 you right now.
This is an important piece of information. The first viewing.
This is a cry for help.
Okay.
If there's a medical professional, a mental health professional in the house.
The first viewing, I saw it in my sauna bed. So that's always gonna affect things, because
right.
I'm sweating profusely and I'm a little out of it.
This would be what you would see in like a waking dream.
It has that kind of mirage.
Quality.
And then in the light of day, showered, I've eaten something, I worked out, and I was like, let's put it on again. And
I think we
God
should
damn it.
I think we should start doing live shows on stage in sauna beds. In standing sauna beds, just to see how the heat affects the viewing.
We should be watching movies in sauna beds and then doing the podcast in sauna beds.
Or we could also have the audience in sauna. We could, if we could get a sauna bed to
listen,
or we
just pump the heat up right now.
Yeah, let's hot yoga this place.
This is good. I wanted to announce
Bikram
that you're doing
podcasting.
A special show in Sedona. It's going to be 140 degrees in the room. You all have to be in Downward Dog the entire time. The musical starts off weird because the first song, the term underestimated is said a lot. And I was like, that is a hard term to make like your lead thesis statement.
Well,
for, like your open is like, duh, I'm underestimated.
And I didn't know where we were finding her in that first number. Like, and I, you know, I thought the actors did just a fine job. But before we even get into the movie, where I'm stuck is just on the why. On the
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. But I also would, I'm going to ask you right now. You just watched it twice today.
Yes.
I watched it today. How many people here watched it today? Okay.
Well, that's
great.
A good bit.
Let's all,
we got to
decide
hours,
if we're
going right?
to, if we're going to, let's all decide we're going to clap, not raise hands. Because you're fucking up the system. Some of you are clapping. Some of you are raising your hands. Get it together. Choose as an audience before you come in. Okay. Now, could anybody right now sing one of the songs?
Someone can.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Really?
Wait. All right, hold on.
Do you have some sort of relationship to it?
No.
Okay, great. Okay. Stand up. Stand up right now. Everyone be as quiet as you can
Everybody
be.
Shut your fucking mouths. Don't come. Don't. You don't have to come
no
up.
No notes. No notes. You stay there. I'll hold the mic towards you.
Pretty, pretty girl in a pretty, pretty dress.
Yeah. The songs are well done.
That was great.
Thank you.
Well, I'm going to be honest. That person made me look like a grade A asshole.
Yep.
Well, so fuck you. Have Michael take him out. But my point was going to be how unmemorable every song was.
The only song I truly remember is the fuck you dress. The fuckity, fuckity, fuckity. Because it's so crazy.
But that's not you. All you remember is that little bit of wordplay.
Right.
Yes.
You don't remember the song. Right?
No, but that's what I'm saying. These songs are complicated. They are like underestimated. It's like, I'm not like, I can't like just gravitate to that. I tried to listen to it on Spotify on the way here.
Why?
Again,
Why were you trying
to
drive into oncoming traffic?
Well, here's my...
There should be a trigger warning in front of this because it might cause such desolation and despair.
This is what I wanted to ask because I think it goes hand in hand with what you are asking, which is pretend we know nothing about the princess at all. We don't know anything about Diana. Does this musical work to let you know who she was? And I think no. Or it gives you a very warped idea of who she is because she seems at points to be incredibly vindictive, then at points to be like a child, then at points to be like a savior.
Who is this movie's protagonist? Like, what is the point of view of this movie?
I think it's that romance novelist, Barbara...
Yes.
Oh, I love...
Barbara Corcoran?
Barbara Corcoran
from Shark Tank?
When Barbara Corcoran comes back on HGTV, when Barbara Corcoran comes back, when she comes back an hour into the play, and like, and now this is what's going on. Wait, where were you? You're the narrator
where
now?
Where were you? And that's actually like... This is, again, I still haven't gotten an answer on just why. Why? But could have been a cool device to actually tell the story as a romance novel or when Barbara's introduced to have the whole stage turn into like this crazy romance novel that she's describing. But there's none of that happens. Again,
or have her be the narrator.
Or have her tell the story from start
to
finish.
Why not have an overarching structure that is this story's being told to someone
or
with
we
a
do
point
it,
of view.
Yes. We do it with like Our Town, but Jason Statham is like, hey, listen up, governor. Back when I was a kid, there was this crazy dame. And here's a story I'm going to tell you right now. You know, something like that.
I would like you to film those pieces and somebody edit them in.
But or back...
Then. Now, she don't talk like that, does she? But I'll tell you
back
this.
To my original question, though, Paul. So there's Diana the Musical, which was on Broadway?
Well, yes, it was on Broadway.
Wow.
I can tell you the
So that
the
was on Broadway.
Yes. It's a bold
wow.
choice to record it without an audience.
For how long?
Well, I mean, we can get into it. Hold on.
It's got to be like, if it ran more than a month,
no.
I'll give you $10,000.
I know, Nate Kiley did our research, and I know that there is a couple of things here where they were just about to open, and then COVID shut it down. So they were like, oh, let's tape
another
it while
Another pandemic
we're fresh.
Loss.
Yeah.
And then we've lost so many greats.
And then when COVID subsided a little bit and Broadway came back, it reopened and no one came. And then it shut down.
Well, yeah, as it should.
The show is not successful. And then Netflix says, let's put cameras on it.
No, the that show is about to open. And I
then
think
they
the
filmed
idea
it.
Is,
they thought they were going to get in on the ground floor.
Like, I think they were like, this will be our Hamilton. The same way that they released Hamilton, you know, the live stage version of it. Disney moved it up. So I think they were like, well, this cast is ready to go if we do it COVID safe with no audience.
But this is what I don't understand. Because there are musicals that they do film. So, and you sometimes, when you're outside of the theater, there's a little TV and they play clips from the musical. And those clips actually have some energy behind them.
Yep.
I mean, still not the show, but it's like you can feel something happening.
There's an audience for most
of them. There is an audience for, I don't know, because the cameras are close, but it just feels like they're performing for an audience. And it feels like there's an energy to the performance. And this was so odd.
This felt so dead.
This felt like an industrial.
Yes,
exactly. It felt like an industrial musical. It did not, it felt like I said, a Wikipedia entry set to music. It was without emotionality for such an emotional story.
Yeah.
It was everything, everybody's delivery was flat, and it was just, we're here to sing the plot.
But
that's it.
Yeah, period.
We are going to joylessly.
But I also feel like they did Diana dirty because
Dirty Diana.
Bah, 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 bah. Like, by the way,
I did not see that coming when I said that. I was shocked by that.
I will tell you who I liked. Camilla Parker Bowles.
Okay. Yes.
She is good, and
I love that they introduce her, and Charles is basically like, "You're ugly."
And you, I didn't mean it like that. But
I was like, what the fuck is this?
And yeah, listen, I thought she was good. It's always going to be hard for me to get on board with Camilla.
Why? Why is it hard, June?
Why? Well, I mean,
my understanding of it is pretty base. I haven't watched The Crown. I didn't see, I didn't see
Have
Spencer.
You heard the tapes?
No.
Well, oh, what tapes?
The Diana tapes. Did you guys watch this movie?
I watched this movie, but...
Here's what I'll say. I know astonishingly little about this story.
Okay.
I know a couple things.
For it being so much in
And that's hard, because now after seeing this, I feel like you know less.
Yes.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Well,
I don't know what I walked
away with. This was my first introduction to the hunk known as James Hewitt.
Love James Hewitt.
I recently went to the Telluride Comedy Festival, and I was sick and tired of staying in the same kind of cookie-cutter places, and I went on Airbnb, and I found a perfect spot for me and the family. We had an amazing time because we felt like home. Then I realized, wait a second, what if I could give that feeling to someone else? Yes! That's the best part. When you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. That's right. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who have never thought about it or didn't even realize that their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle, and you can make someone feel great and make a little bit of money too, because we all need a little bit of money. And maybe your talent or your gift to the world is having a killer place. So if you have a home, but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Here's the thing, people. Walmart Plus is the membership that saves you time and money on the stuff you'd expect, but also on the stuff you don't. Let me explain. Did you know with your Walmart Plus membership, you can save money on gas? Yeah. Save gas while you drive the kiddos to soccer practice, plus visit your in-laws, plus venture into the wilderness, plus wherever you want to go. Because Walmart Plus also saves you time and money with free delivery, perfect for ordering new remote batteries or coffee when somebody finishes it without telling you. And then, you know, eat all your snacks that you have stored in the back of that pantry for movie night. How dare they? Plus, you can actually even save on the actual movies with a Paramount Plus subscription. Stream Top Gun Maverick plus Mean Girls plus Jack Reacher plus so much more, because savings is what this whole Walmart Plus membership is all about anyways. Members save on gas plus free delivery plus Paramount plus so much more. Start a free 30-day trial at www.walmartplus.com. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions. $35 order minimum. Paramount Plus Essential plan only. Separate registration required.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, Indeed's matching engine helps you find quality candidates fast. You get to ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. It's not just about hiring faster, though. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Don't search. Match with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I'm sure there are others here who know more about like the truth and can dramaturg this story better than I can, but
take your best
shot. I did not know, or it was new information to me, that Camilla kind of arranged the marriage.
Well, that's what I thought was so compelling.
I never heard that before, but maybe
that's true.
Maybe that is true. That is true.
It's true.
Okay. Yeah.
No.
There's
a little bit. There was about a 50-25 there. 50% said yes.
You know what? Listen, you know what I heard for the first time, as though it was brand new information? Oh. I had never taken in the fact that Diana was 19 and he was 32.
Yes.
She was
a virgin, which I also didn't know.
Yeah.
Like a teenager.
She was a teen.
True teenager.
She had
pictures of him on her wall, and that felt not true to me, but I guess because longing after this man?
He's royalty, and okay. He's the prince, and he's.
I mean, like,
he was definitely. I mean, he was always an odd-looking guy, but he was the prince.
Okay.
Yeah, I do think she loved him.
Well, I did not know, and maybe this would have. Maybe this is part of if I'd watched The Crown or something like that. I did not know that her sister had dated him prior.
That's how she met
him. And it seemed to me to be like. The sisters seemed to be fully dialed in on the bullshit of the situation.
Yeah.
And I was a little bit like, hey, like, protect Diana, older sister.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I think, I think that, and we've seen it with Meghan Markle, the family members are also so excited that the royals are coming to dinner. You know, that they overlook a lot of the stuff.
Well, look, the idea was just suck it up because you are going to be, and that's what the message of the, I mean, it gets going quick. I mean, this movie is an hour and 57 minutes. They got to cover
so
a life.
Long.
And like I said, they are compacting a lot of stuff in there because you're meeting Camilla. They're on their first date. She's in the dress. And by the way, the costume change is A+. But the one thing I knew,
By the way, I do want to direct everyone to an incredible performance by the woman who directed Promising Young Woman, who's Camilla in The Crown.
Yes.
And that scene, you should watch that because there's a scene between Camilla and Diana in The Crown that's one of the best scenes on TV. So there are other,
better
not that
than
this
the
Camilla
thriller
wasn't good,
in Manila?
But.
Like, are you telling me it's better than this musical number between the final face-off when let's take a look.
This is...
Stop this now. You've had your goddamn fun. We'll take our leave. Your little stunt is done.
Can you stop for a second? What this is a ripping off another song. What song? Paradise by the Dashboard Lights, right? Start
Ish.
From the beginning again. And it's like, I'm gonna stop right now.
Yeah, but it's not the same yet.
Stop this now. You've had your goddamn fun. We'll take our leave. Your little stunt is done.
You thought I was could mold me as you like. While a skinny on the ninny, if she's really rather bright. I've suffered through divorce, I know how it destroys. I've had it done to me, I won't do it to my boys.
Ladies and gentlemen, now this is a show. And
it's
I
not.
Scroll for the flow by blow. It's the thriller in Manila.
Can you pause for a second?
I was gonna say the
that
shoulder
was choreography. One but, afternoon they showed up and were like, today we're gonna do next stuff.
Whoever choreographed this musical was into doing aggressive shoulder work. The bellhops had aggressive shoulders. The buys, everyone's popping that shoulder. They're popping that shoulder like they pop those flashbulbs on top of those old-timey cameras, which, I mean, I also feel like that shows like how weirdly dated it was, too. These paparazzi in the trench coats running around like a Batman Commissioner Gordon, like, hey, snap, crackle, pop, you know, whatever the fuck they were saying.
I would like it if it was snap, crackle, pop, honestly.
But there were these moments in the thing that falls so flat. And I just go back to what you were saying, June, about the emptiness of it. They are performing the hell out of it. I think they're doing the best of the material that they have.
Oh, they're giving it their all.
They don't change a fucking word. And there are like Broadway laugh lines. And I mean that in the sense of, if you ever see a Broadway show, they're like dumb, fucking dumb jokes, but they know this will work. And it's like Duran Duran. And they hold.
Duran, Duran, Duran.
Duran, Duran, Duran. And they hold like for laugh, but it's just.
You're right. They do hold for laughs.
Deadly silent. And they do it 3 times. Yeah. Like no one said like, you know what? Just speed through those jokes.
Yeah.
Because there's no laughter coming. And that was unnerving to
but
me.
But why wouldn't the cast
So you weren't laughing during those little breaks?
I was like, ha, ha, ha. And I was that looking around just, and I found no one.
June, that might have just been the delirium of the sauna bed.
Probably.
I wrote down so many lyrics that now I'm like, why? Where the prince could hear some prince and we'd all be funkadelic?
The obsession with Princess Di and pop music. Now, that the one thing I knew, the one thing I was very familiar with, and tell me if I'm right or wrong, you may or may not know this, was didn't Princess Diana perform Uptown Girl? But in the musical, she does a ballet number. The whole thing is about her loving pop music. And at that one point, it's like, well, we can't get the rights to Billy Joel, so we're going to make her fucking dance ballet.
Well, and I think both things
she did
happened. Both things
she did
happened.
Both.
Okay.
Yeah.
Both at the same
so
time?
She danced
a ballet to Uptown Girl.
There's a big deal about her. Like, she offered that to him as a birthday gift, that was going to be
her Marilyn Monroe kind
got
of
it.
Yes,
happy
and
birthday.
It fell really flat. He's such a dick. I fucking hate him
I'll say this. I'll say this. And this.
I found him to be charming in the musical, though.
This gets to, like, the whole point of the musical.
It's enough.
This, for me, the whole musical really just, to me, feels like I don't understand why we even want to watch the Royals. This is a play about villains, right? This is a play about the monarchy, who are unquestionably villains, right? And we are asked over and over again to root for them.
Yes.
Somehow, or believe that they are all trying to do their best, when this play should be about villains acting villainous, right? But instead, everybody's like, I'm just doing the best I can, trying to raise these boys.
Well, that's why I think it was troubling to have Camilla. I know you loved her so much, Paul, but to have her be so sympathetic because...
But they can have their Sundays back.
It doesn't work for the story.
Here's the thing, Royals. I don't give a fuck if you don't get to have your Sundays back.
Yeah.
You fucks.
But here, to my point is, from the moment the play starts, musical, play, movie, whatever you want to call it, it's all, they tell you, Royals are bad, this is bad, it's going to end bad. And I think from a story perspective, that's not the best way. Like, I would have liked to at least, like, I feel like everyone's warning her. So I feel like Princess Diana comes off really dumb or vindictive. I like Princess Diana, and I come off from here going like, well, she's kind of like, well, she's fucking that guy first, right? Or she's fucking him, and then she's like going in there, and she's like, do you want to dance with me? And then, I mean,
right,
where's she at?
Oh, I'll tell you where she's at.
I'll be back.
I have issues with the
I'm
movie
step
too.
Out for 10.
But Charles was having an affair with Camilla before they were married.
Throughout.
And that continued throughout.
Right, but then she starts...
Yes, she does. Yes.
Right.
Absolutely. And then,
but he never stops.
Never stopped, not a once. And it was a loveless marriage, and he was so punishing toward her and humiliated her over and over.
Well, he did that fun dance.
Oh,
you know, when,
my God.
When they got, when, I mean, look at this. You know, like you say all this bad stuff about him, but then all of a sudden.
But we're asked in the musical over and over again to root for he and Camilla to be together.
I'm rooting for this guy who, when the cello comes out and it gets funky,
oh God.
He can dance and have a good time. She goes over to a cello and plays it like, I don't even understand. It starts to be a cello and then it goes to a different
thing. Look at
thing.
The guy's face behind her.
And now she's playing it in a different way that you would have played.
Oh, shit.
Good overhead shot. All right, now watch. This is the Prince Charles I like.
They had to rehearse this.
This is insane.
For weeks.
I forgot about this.
For weeks they rehearsed this. They went home to their loved ones at night and said, it's bad.
Yeah.
It's bad, I'm fucked, and I mean, so much choreography.
What is so crazy about this?
They worked so hard.
The choreography.
That's the kind of
they
thing
are
where,
in
like,
time. The choreography is great, but what I was guessing is like they're not even parodying dance moves that we know. Like at least like when you see that scene in Pulp Fiction, you're like, oh, I recognize these dance moves.
I'm sorry, Paul. I'm going to interrupt you. These are famous British dance moves. These motherfuckers can't
dance. You do the lift, then you do the Thames, and then you come over here. You do the.
You do the Thames? All right, then. You do the Thames.
You do the Thames.
And I want to stress this because if in case listeners perhaps didn't watch the movie, the actors and the performers, the dancers, the entire company is really doing the equivalent of a Broadway show. And it is executed flawlessly. It is terrible. But when you really think about it, they put months of work
into stage design,
months
costume.
Of work, everyday rehearsing, learning choreography,
absolutely.
The choreographers designing choreography, all for this.
I know.
It will live forever on
it's
Netflix.
Tough.
It will never live forever on Broadway.
What?
You know all of these people were in the shower like before they had to go in. Like.
I'm going to say, I'll say this. Eight shows a week. A week.
I don't think they even got that.
No, but what if you had to do that for eight shows? I don't know. I don't know. That is wild.
I interrupted you. So I was saying I was falling in love with this Prince Charles.
This Charles is in a fantasy sequence. This isn't Charles.
So she never played the cello like a piano? And she didn't want everyone to be cool and be like a rock star. Because what I'm getting from this is like, I'm getting Princess Diana is Hannah Montana. And
I
she's
know.
Like,
and that's...
shucks, I married a real stick in the mud.
Well, the aspirational song is the song where she gets access to couture. You know, the difference is I'm throwing away the old clothes and I'm choosing my own clothes, right?
Yeah.
And that is the song that is like now... I am
well,
myself.
I read that differently. I think that song is more, I now understand how that I'm a commodity here. So I understand that I'm the most photographed woman in the world. And so I'm going to, she starts playing into it more.
But then when she goes to the AIDS ward, which happens in the musical, it seems like she's doing that as like a move of revenge. But I guess she
You
is.
Have so much to learn about her.
No,
okay.
I am learning it from the musical. I think that was meant to be genuinely
I know,
humanitarian.
But the way that I'm not...
I'm okay, very uncomfortable.
I'm not saying... what. I just want to draw the line here because I want to make sure that I'm clear. I understand how it was done in real life. I think the musical does her a disservice because it's positioned like that in the musical, like, huh, what can I do to really piss them off? I'll go to the AIDS ward and shake their hands. Like, that's what it feels real petulant to me.
I guess
I'm not saying that that's who she is. I mean, this musical doesn't do a good job of telling it.
I think what's different, and the reason why you have your reading and I have my reading, is that I know her. So I'm not looking for...
Well, then it's a failure as a piece of art if you need to know...
That's what I'm saying.
I don't disagree. But, I mean, the question you have to ask yourself is, why don't you know her better?
You know? I watched The Royal Wedding. I saw it live. And then you know what I said?
When you were
three? None of my business.
Well, you were 3 years old?
It was a very big thing in my house, the Royal Wedding. I remember it. I remember it as a very... I remember sitting in front of the TV watching it.
Really?
Yeah. It was a very big thing. My mom was a very big Princess Di fan. It was a very big thing in my house. Yeah. And so that was... But I don't get involved in their business. I let them do their own.
So we don't have you to blame for her death.
But I do... No. But I do... want to read that book that they... Well, now that was the other thing. Because in the... Okay, again, a thing where I'm confused. In the musical, she goes, I'm calling up this gossip reporter we've never heard of before, and I guess we're all supposed to know. And she's like, I'm going to tell you everything, but you have to be anonymous. And then the book comes out, and it's like Princess Di in her own words. I'm like, well, wait, when did that... What happened? Where's the switch? Why didn't we... Why are we supposed to know this other story? That, like, why did he sell her out? Is she mad?
I don't know all those details, but I think I do think the musical.
These are valid questions, though. Am I right?
I don't know all those details. I do think the musical and the storytelling assumes. Now, this isn't my Diana, you know, and so I.
Your Diana isn't the one who says, "I'm no intellect." Maybe there's a cool discotheque where Prince.
That's not my Diana.
Hear some Prince, and then we'd all get funkadelic. Then don't create a scene. You're auditioning to be his queen.
No.
Pet Shop Boys, come on, come on. Make some noise. Give it up for Adam Ant. Where are you, Diana, huh?
I feel as though, and even though I just have said how much work went into this and all of that, it felt to me on a level of a group of very good improvisational singers arrived at the theater and said, can we get a suggestion? Someone said, Princess Diana. And this is what they did. And by the way,
if I saw this, Jason, in those circumstances,
I'd be like, they're geniuses.
And I'd be like, everyone, go see them. They are amazing.
It'd blow your mind.
Did you ever see improvised Shakespeare? They're like them, but they do it to musicals.
It was amazing. It was incredible.
I took it as someone told them, you have exactly 1 hour and 57 minutes to tell every detail about this woman's life. Go.
And then give nothing weight.
Yeah, they really do.
We gotta just get to the next thing.
I said it before, she has two babies in one song.
And the trouble with creating a musical around this is also we know the ending. Well, I don't. Do you all know what happened to her? I was surprised.
I was surprised.
I did know the ending.
I only looked it up afterwards that's not Diana.
When we already know where she's headed, it's hard to ever feel that, you know, this is a hero's journey and that she's going to get redemption because we ultimately know that they killed her.
Well, not only that. But here is, to me, the true offense of all of this, which is, yes, it is the story of Diana, theoretically, right? But it is so respectful of the royal family, who, again, are villains, so much so that the final word of the musical is given to Charles.
Yes!
Yeah.
I was like, shame on you.
Well, that's
shame on you.
Now,
you
June,
can't
this is,
do that.
Now, this is where I'll get you back on my side. I found the end to be terrible because I felt like all of a sudden these people who were treated her like shit are the ones like going like, ah, so sad, so sad. It's like, your fault.
You did this.
They don't listen.
With them in prison.
And
all of the land that they hold given back to the people.
Or
what are we doing?
I mean, listen. Listen, I do think the Royals, I mean, they essentially function as a tourist attraction now.
But they like own they, all the
they
land.
They do, but there is a sense, I mean, I don't know, is anyone British here and would you care to speak on the Royals? But it does feel like there's just a tourism economy that
Oi,
the Royals
I'm
are.
I'm part British. What you want to know?
I'm shocked you don't get more jobs with that accent.
That crazy bag go punching mirrors all the time.
Paul, I just got a text. Guy Ritchie needs to talk to you.
Oh, wow.
All right. Snatch prequel, here I come.
Mini Snatch?
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, Indeed's matching engine helps you find quality candidates fast. You get to ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. It's not just about hiring faster, though. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Don't search. Match with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I gotta go back, though, to when someone made the call to put cameras on this. Like, well, I still need to understand a little bit more.
My
it's barely up
this.
For a week, and they anticipate, like, this is
my guess is this.
Be
because
huge.
Hamilton sold mm-hmm. for so much money in success.
By right? the way, this is such a take. They were like, Hamilton
I think they
this.
Were like, let's get in before. Mm-hmm. Let's license this before it becomes obviously a mega hit. We'll get it cheap rather than bidding on it later when it's all... Because yeah. Hamilton, what was it? It sold for $65 million. Just that, just the something crazy.
Yeah, it was a huge, huge sale.
My guess is they saw that and were like, oh, we can get in on the before this even blows
Netflix
up.
Netflix knows exactly what they're doing. They're like, we got the crown, and now we're going to give you... Yeah. Like, you need another season. We got to edit that shit. So watch this, you dummies. And I'm sure so many people watch... Because...
Oh, you know your mom watched this.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm going to tell you, people watched it, and they fucking loved it. Like, I don't think this is like... Because, again, it's Netflix. You didn't go to the theater. There's no expectation. You're like, that was cute.
Out of curiosity, for those of you who watched it in the audience, like
myself.
Watch
it with my mom, let me know.
How many of you were shocked to find out that this was a filmed live performance? I thought I was going to be watching, like, Cats.
Yeah, I was shocked.
I was shocked that, what, now we've just decided on small clips?
Yeah, I just raised my hand.
This audience is not giving it up. They're
I don't
more
know about you guys. Honestly, I think I hate.
I just assumed. Yeah, I assumed it was this Diana the Musical.
I was like,
that
oh, cool,
it was,
okay.
Yeah, it was a movie.
Yes.
I also was shocked that it was a film state adaptation. I thought it was going to be a musical film. I will tell you that if you think about it, like The Crown is out. You have that movie Spencer, which is, you know, yep. Which is out and getting award acclaim. And then this. Like, those
and
are,
also Diana the Tapes.
And Diana. Oh, wait, what's
wait,
Diana
what's
the Tape?
If you head on to Netflix, there's another docuseries called Diana the Tapes.
So Netflix is just kind of cornering the market of
Diana market.
Stuff.
Yeah.
So if you want to sell a show right now, it sounds like putting Diana in is a surefire bet at Netflix.
But
fascinating.
I mean, I will say that, you know, what I was surprised at was the person who wrote it for the stage. He did write Toxic Avenger the musical, which is the trauma film Toxic Avenger. So he did come from that. But also, he was the keyboard player for Bon Jovi. He was the composer.
Oh,
His name is David Bryan. And so these guys, I think, they also wrote this.
Because I was gonna say it had like real like rock and roll music vibes.
Yes.
You know, which surprised me also that I was like,
oh, this is way more like electric guitar forward than I would have thought for a Broadway musical style show.
Continued throughout the whole thing.
No, it was a mess.
But these guys who work together, the other one is Joe DiPietro. They wrote this other thing. If you're in New York City, I know that you probably both know what I'm going to talk about. Is I Love You, You're Perfect Now, Change.
Of course.
That was what they wrote before this. So I think they come from a more comedy background. So it's like Toxic Avenger, I Love You, Now You're Perfect Now, Change, and Diana, the musical. One of those things doesn't really fit. Like, I could see, like, the funny version. I don't know what the funny version is, but I guess, like, there's a part of me that's like...
Let's pitch it out, though. What is the fun... You know
well,
what?
I it's think the story playing the cello, Diana, I think, but it's hilarious. I think this is the funny version. I do... Like, this is the funny version right here.
Officer Hewitt, I hear you offer lessons.
There's only one type of lesson I offer. Riding lessons.
Boom.
Oh, 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 James Hewitt.
Oh, I assumed your husband gives you riding lessons.
He's tried. He's not very good.
Oh, 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 you conquer.
Well, perhaps he just doesn't have the proper horse.
And do you have the proper horse?
Your Royal Highness, I think you'd adore my horse.
Oh, all right, all right. I just made up those bits of dialogue. But aren't they delicious? They are.
No response.
Zero response. But that should be our window character.
But by the way...
sure.
By the way, I think I do a better British accent than she does. But I will say this. Why stop the musical to say, I made that up? So you telling me the rest is all transcripts? You telling me the rest is so letter perfect to what actually happened? That fucked me up. It was like, all right, we went too far here. Yeah. The rest of the shit
we're
playing
some
the cello
liberties
talking about
just
Prince.
There.
Yeah.
Just there. But everything else,
perfect. Like truly like Ken Burns before this. I got in and I got a little silly. But that was like
when this happened, when James Hewitt arrived, and I was like, okay, got it. I did that thing where I'm like, okay, this has gotta be like we're getting to the end here. 1 hour left. I had a panic attack.
Yeah.
Because I was already feeling unwell.
Yeah.
From what I'd watched so far. To have one, to click on that status bar and see that you have 1 hour left in this abject nightmarescape.
All right.
Was
quite long.
Harrowing.
Now, is James Hewitt the one that there are rumors is Harry's father? Yeah.
Because he looks like
looks
Harry.
Just like him, doesn't
and
he?
And then, I mean...
Here they're like, he looks like Hugh Grant, though. Here they give him Hugh Grant floppy hair.
And James Hewitt wrote a book about Diana, too, and he was kind of really out... I did a little deep dive on James Hewitt because I was like, who is this hunky dude? And he seems to have had a rough go of it afterwards because he wrote a tell-all novel. He feels very badly about it. It looks like it took a toll on him.
A tell-all novel?
All right. Well, he took some liberties.
He fictionalized
here.
It.
Tell all books. Sorry. Tell
I'm
all
telling
books.
Everything, but it's fiction.
It's like Primary Colors, the book. But yeah, there was something really interesting about. I mean, oh boy, I have so many questions about Diana and Hugh because I also felt like they had a good thing, but did she not really like him?
I think she. I don't know. Obviously, but I think that
it's so hard to get access to what really happened when this is your only. I'm trying to remember from the tapes.
I do think she loved Charles, and that no, she didn't necessarily want a life with James Hewitt, but she wanted out of that marriage.
Right. So, but in the play, she often says like, I have been through divorce, and I know that I'm not having that happen again. And
yes.
She talks about divorce as if I've murdered someone, and I will never murder anyone ever again. Like, I'm like, wow, this you're really upset about divorce. But she really has like that. Like, I just think that all of her, like, she's getting out of bed, she's really happy with James Hewitt, and then she's going to talk to Charles, and she's like, hey, what's up? And he's like, hey, leave me alone. And I'm like, I don't know where you're at. I thought you were happy.
Oh. You really didn't have access to the interiority of this character.
And I had a problem. But here's what I will tell you. I turned it on. I saw an hour and 57 minutes. I was like, you know what I'll do? I'll watch 30 minutes tonight. I'll watch 30 minutes tomorrow. And then I'll finish before the show.
I couldn't turn it off. Turn it off. And then when I saw it was like 20 minutes left, I was like, well, I could finish it tomorrow. It's 1 a.m. I'm like, I can't. I gotta finish it now.
I understand.
And then when the credits started rolling, I was like, maybe there's a post-credit scene. And there was. And
there was.
There was?
Yeah, it shows them rehearsing with the fucking masks
Please
on and stuff.
Play it. I never saw it.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Well, yeah, it's like
I didn't see that. I watched it the exact opposite way. I was in a full flop sweat 20 minutes in.
Not in a sauna bed.
Not in a sauna bed, I wish. I was like, I can't handle this. I'm not well. This makes me feel not safe. I don't like any of what's happening. I don't like musicals. Never mind one that is this catastrophically bad. Oh, I feel like you're showing the audience too much.
I went too quick.
Okay, something really scary happened on our Netflix account, and I think we deleted it, but all of a sudden another profile was there.
Whoa! Yeah. Probably because of things like this. I think we just found out how that happened.
Well, you know,
it was really spooky, and someone had been watching things.
Anything good?
I don't remember.
They were trying to recommend good stuff.
I mean,
it felt like a teenager, and I was like, "Oh, is there a babysitter or someone who?"
If it's a
pardon
whole
the interruption,
don't worry
this tile is not available to watch right now. Why not? Oh, there it is. All right, let's just. Oh, maybe it's playing.
Wow.
Maybe it's playing at our house at the same time.
Oh, it is. It's on in the bedroom.
Oh, wait.
I forgot to turn it off. It's on. You keep it going?
I paused it.
I mean, I think some of this play can be summed up. I do have one
open
note.
Open it in an income. Oh, no, you do. It won't work. It won't work. Forget it.
I was going to say I have one note here for myself that I just wrote down, which is musicals are hard.
But I will say these actors make it look good. I want to again say they're doing a great job with truly catastrophically bad material.
Yes.
The set design, the costume changes, and even though there was a lot of aggressive shoulder movement, the choreography was pretty much on point. Like they were really, I don't think the choreography was great, but they were in sync.
I beg to differ.
And I could be impressed with
that. Well, I'm going to say something else, Paul, which is I thought the costumes were terrible. I thought the set was terrible.
Yes.
Whoa.
And I thought the choreography was terrible.
Really?
Yeah.
It was. But they're doing their best. Like, the performers are.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking about quick changes. This is not a movie. That's why I'm saying, like, if you're doing this on stage 8 nights a week, like, and you're covering.
8 nights a week?
But Paul,
Eight shows a week.
But you don't go to a musical to be taken away by the quickness of the costume changes.
Yes,
I mean,
you do.
Get lost in the story.
Are you telling me, June, are you telling me that when you go see Oklahoma, you're like, oh, it doesn't look like a fucking real farm? I know it's not a real farm. I gotta suspend disbelief. That's Buckingham Palace. I see a fucking gate. There's a bed. I don't need to see the four walls. I'm watching flashes. We gotta give it up for suspension of disbelief.
I thought the stage design I'm not gonna say I'm an expert in this area, but I do
that's what you majored in college.
I do feel I know a couple of stage designers. I do
Name
feel Eve Feinberg, someone I went to high school with.
Get them on the phone.
And so I really do appreciate stage design in plays, and I thought this was terrible.
Yeah.
Like the long table. When they all took that long table, it went from a bar to a back bar. It was a straight bar into
a boxing ring.
Yeah.
I'm just saying there was nothing interesting about that stage. I know you loved it so much. You love that stage.
I want to be on that stage. I want to be on that floor.
You're
pulling
saying
a table.
That for you is really the room where it happened.
Amen. Amen.
I saw
Patti LuPone do Sweeney Todd with no set, and I was there.
No,
in my
by the
head.
Way, by the way, I saw the same production. There's a beautiful stage design. It's simple,
it was pretty nice.
But it was amazing.
You're right.
This is.
This makes no sense. Again, this feels like a high school production.
You're not impressed with the dress. You weren't impressed with the quick changes.
Paul. Paul, I'm comfortable saying that is base level What should be done?
Am I comfortable with the fact that they knew their lines? Like,
yeah. You weren't surprised that they could sing on key? No, that's the job.
I guess I just like live performers
that's like,
doing their craft.
I think that's the closest it got to being a magic trick, and you liked that.
I did.
You're like,
I did.
That was the point in the movie where you're like, how'd they do that? And it got your attention. Yeah.
I was all in. I was all in. I did feel uncomfortable for James Hewitt to have his shirt off for so much of it. I just
on a mechanical bull?
Yeah.
Or a mechanical horse, I guess?
Yeah, I didn't like it. I just felt uncomfortable
for James Hewitt song, too, was fucking bonkers.
I mean, they're all...
Wait, that one that we just saw?
No, this one. The one where our romance novelist...
It's me again, Barbara Conlon.
Great set. Look at that set. Where are we? Buckingham Palace?
Oh, yes. If your prince leaves you wanting more.
Hold on. Look at this sage design.
God.
Red lights. Ooh, the red light district.
I think those are getting you thinking. To match her dress.
That's what I like.
I don't think it's trying to suggest the red light district.
This is entirely set in the world of like extreme wealth.
I don't know. This is getting me a little, you know.
Well, good news. Good news, Paul. Bad news, June. It's playing in your bedroom.
Why not score a man of war? Here comes. Yeah, yeah.
If you can't afford a horse, get a saddle on a seat that comes out from the stage. How many times have you seen that in a Broadway show? A man rises.
And the visual is getting hard on.
Great stage design.
It's a boner visual.
Great stage design. And the red lights change to what? Blue. Balls.
Everybody is soaking wet for this guy. Can we get an actual picture of the actual James Hewitt?
Yeah.
I would rather.
I love him.
I would rather watch them fuck.
They had a lot of chemistry, like genuinely.
Genuinely rather watch them fuck.
So here's James Hewitt.
Pull up a picture of him during his riding days.
Yeah, all right. So his riding days. There's a picture of him with Di right here.
Okay.
I mean,
yeah.
No, that's not okay. Yeah, wait, look at this. He looks like a dork. Okay.
You can't just agree. What are you doing? You now have a subscription to the Times.
I'll read every day. I want to find out where all the beds are doing.
And you're getting advertising. Your identity is gone. Between the Netflix login and this, you're done.
I do it for you, goddammit.
You're going to get home tonight. There's going to be 40 more profiles.
I know everyone here
Netflix.
Is cool. All right. Well, there,
you
I mean,
shouldn't
there.
Be. You're showing too much. There needs to be a how did this get made laptop. This is dangerous.
Well, there you go. That's what he looks like.
You
there.
Need a burner laptop. These fuck. You can't trust these maniacs. They're out there like, fuck, did you see that? What was it? What was it? It was Gmail. And there was two, right? Yeah, two. There's two profiles. Did you get one? You get the top, I'll get the bottom.
I thought I was moving pretty quickly. Thank God it's not being taped for Netflix, so you could rewind it and screen grab and shoot it out. But look, we have a lot of questions out here. There may be some of my British friends out here. There may be people out here that have different questions. Let's go to you, to the audience. Let's have the house lights up a little bit. And I'll just tell you all, we are trying to record it. Well, of course, because it's a podcast. And so because I'm not going to out there with the mic, I may have to repeat the question. So here we go. What do you got? Yeah, right down here.
Why do you think it was so important for them to talk about how dumb Diana was?
All right, great. So this is important. All right, so the question here, and what's your name?
Montana.
And whose side are you on ultimately in this? June's side. Okay, you're on June's side. Why do you think there's no other side to be on? I mean, where's my team Camilla?
Wait, do you think... Do you think we represent different sides of the...
I think that Camilla made the ultimate sacrifice.
What are you talking about?
Oh, my God.
Wait, so you are saying...
They wouldn't let her marry him.
You are saying you are Team Camilla.
Isn't that the case? Isn't that the story that they wouldn't let her marry him?
She was married.
Because she knew it was a dead end. She's like, look. What do you want me to fucking do? I got it.
You know, she was already married when she met
Charles.
But
did she like, oh, when she met
yes.
him?
Yes.
Well, I think they had known each other for a while, but when they were having an affair, she was already married.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I thought they were like long time, like high school sweethearts. Like they went on a field trip to like, you know, the town of London.
You're acting as if these are people who have had normal lives. These are monsters.
All right. So the question from Montana was, why do they have to keep on pointing out that she's so dumb? And this actually goes into what I was saying, that they do her a disservice. They make her dumb. They make her like a dumb kid. Yeah, and I don't know, like, and that's why I do think that the play isn't on her side.
Well, I don't think the play is on anyone's side. I think the play is constantly having it both ways with everybody. They both want you to think Charles is an idiot and a villain, but then also believe in the love story of Charles and Camilla and the fact that they miss their Sundays.
Like, and they have want you to believe that the queen is different than the romance novelist.
She is.
What? Are you telling me the queen's not... They're the same person in the musical. I thought that was what the show was trying to prove to me.
That's quite a quick change.
That was a good quick change. All right, so any other questions? Any other questions? Yeah, right there. Whose side are you on and what's your name?
I'm Holly, June and Jason.
Okay, June and Jason, which is also mine. That was my point, that's mine.
She gets it.
I'm just saying if you didn't know
anything. I'm curious, just so we don't have to waste time, is anybody here on Paul's side?
Thank you. I'm not saying in real life. I'm just saying the musical version of this. That's where I'm at. Okay, yes, go ahead.
The fuck you dress.
Yes, the fuck you dress.
No.
Fuck you.
It's fuck you until the last line is fuck you.
Yes, the fuck you dress.
That's actually a famous dress, June might know. Mm-hmm. If you guys didn't know that black dress, do you think that was a fuck you dress? You thought that was it effective?
Okay, was the feck you dress effective? Let's pull it up here.
Okay, so the question is, do you think it was successful in its attempt to like be like a declarative statement of something? Yeah, certainly. Yes, absolutely. This is a famous dress, right?
That's a classic.
Even I know this. Yeah. Paul, pause. Oh, will you rewind it just like a couple, just a, like yeah. a few seconds? A little, go for yeah.
Like here?
Right, okay, so right here. You love that stage design. I love the light tubes.
What I like about this stage design is a couple things. It doesn't take attention away from the feck you dress. It actually lets the feck you dress shine. And to your question, I believe it's a feck you dress because they're telling me it. So like if I didn't have to even imagine it. They told me as everything, every emotion is told to me, except the things that should be told to me, like the suicide, that's hidden. In a punch through the mirror, but this is very clean. Everyone is very clean and clear with how they feel. So yeah, like she could be serving pizza and saying it's soup, and if you say it's soup enough times, I'm like, I guess that's soup.
I liked this. This is where the musical fails, because this is a really good idea at a juxtaposition between Prince Charles giving this televised interview where he's going to take some sort of ownership, mm-hmm. and she's stealing focus with this fuck you dress, right? And to be able to think that that juxtaposition could have created tension and been something great. And instead, it's just like not. It's neither side of it is particularly effective at dramatizing the events of what I think is this a true story?
I feel like time was like things got a bit conflated, I think, because I
this
don't.
This is true. She was going to go to this very big event. I actually do have this research from Nate.
Okay.
All right. So this is, Paul Burrell, that's her close friend and confidant. In an interview after the princess died, Burrell spoke about how Diana felt humiliated after Charles admitted his infidelity to the press. The evening that Charles's interview aired, Diana was scheduled to appear at the annual Serpentine Gallery summer party and nearly did not go. According to Burrell, he talked her into going and chose a very sexy black dress for her to wear with a diamond choker as a way to tell the world she was not going to be humiliated. Their duet, The Dress, is a direct reference to this conversation.
So that's
applause.
I like that.
No.
Wait, applause? Now you're just giving the audience applause?
I know this is
a
joking.
Cheer for me. Jason.
Camilla.
Team CPB over here.
I'm so upset about
this
that,
is
Paul.
The new
I'm
going
to need you to
Fred.
Take it back, honestly.
This is the new teams. Team Sanity is Team CPB.
I'm judging this as a person who just walked into the local Netflix cinema and shows Diana. I don't know what this is about. Is this true?
But if this had been bouncing back and forth between him giving the interview and her doing this and that could have been fun and cool and have given more, again, more emotionality to the moment and to what they were going through. But instead, it's everything is reduced to just everything's reduced to one thing. And this is just The Dress.
Do you remember that one song? Now I can't remember it, but it was when it's with the romance novelist and she goes, "It's him, it's her, it's a combo of him and her." Okay. Like, what is that? What are you? I don't even know what you're saying. Like, that was odd. It was like, what's the combo of him and her? Like, I didn't understand what even that was going for. Yeah. But it does feel like, I said to June when she was watching again and I walked and was watching it over her shoulder, it's interesting
it's
because.
Still on
so
right
you
now.
Both watched it twice.
I definitely watch a few more scenes.
You stop by and watch more of it than I think you're willing to.
Oh, yeah, I'll admit it. And I guess like every time I watch it.
I want to have the severance procedure done for this movie so that I can live in a world in which I don't remember having seen it.
I have to be honest with you, Jason. I might watch it again.
I'm going to tell you, it goes down smoother the second time. Obviously, we have an opinion about this movie. There are people out there with a different opinion. It is now time for second opinions.
They go to Amazon to get their reviews on. These people's minds are gone. They're second opinionated. They're lowering their bars. These movies are subpar. They give them all 5 stars. Second opinionated.
Amazing. What an amazing job. Thank you, Chris. Chris said he wrote that 10 seconds before the show. You could not tell. It was better than most of the songs in Diana the Musical.
I would believe it if Chris had written Diana the Musical.
Diana the Musical, second opinions. So these are the reviews, sadly, just from the soundtrack on Amazon.
When did this come? Is this
came
is
out
recent,
in 2021.
Right?
So this was awarded all the Razzies this year, just a mere few weeks ago. But people do mention the stage version and Netflix one a lot. So here are some reviews here. I'll start off with this one from Man. Every performance is breathtakingly spot on. I would not change anything about this musical. A masterpiece. 5 stars. Absolutely wonderful. There we go. Jennifer W. Hale writes, "After seeing the Netflix show, I had to get the soundtrack. I know this is a controversial piece, but I love it. 5 stars. This is a fun musical." I would say fun is not the word I would use. And then, two more quick ones. From an Amazon customer, "I absolutely loved it. The music was so good. The cast is amazing.
do yourself a favor and go see the Broadway show in person. And then watch the Netflix iteration as well, because it's just brilliant. Enough said. 5 stars. Wow. Now, here is the thing that was weird that Nate found. Nate Kiley, our amazing researcher, found out that a lot of the 5-star reviews happened to be for Shrek the Musical. And they somehow are on the Diana page. So the ones I just read might have been for Shrek if they don't specifically say Diana, because in the Diana musical ones, we also found this one from Jandy. Jandy writes, "This is a gift from my husband, Tony, who loves musicals, especially this one. He enjoys playing his cast album of Shrek while working on his computer. 5 stars. Thank you, Jandy. June and I saw Shrek the Musical.
What?
When?
Remember we went to go see it at the Pantages?
That was somebody else.
We were there with Kulop and Scott and everybody.
I will step out.
You were definitely there. It was Kulop and Scott and everyone was there.
I have no recollection of that.
We got yelled at.
How about this? This is the first I'm hearing that there is such a thing as a Shrek musical.
It's on Netflix.
Like this?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's also on YouTube
Please
for free.
Please do not make us watch it.
Shrek the Musical.
Oh.
Now I will say Camilla Parker Bowles in that is actually, you will see a different side of her.
She plays Donkey?
Oh. No. Oh, Shrek.
Wait. That's the thing that makes you
I can't
turn
believe him.
Against me?
I can't believe him. Talking. Wow, despicable.
It's the only other character I know from Shrek.
Fiona.
But what, should I have said Lady Shrek?
Lord Farquaad.
I don't know from Shrek. I know there's a donkey.
Would you recommend
it? Cut that out. Actually, put it in twice. But instead, when I make the joke, instead of them booing, put in before when they chanted my name. I will kill regardless of what happens in this room.
What, would you recommend it?
No!
June.
You know... It is something to see, and I do feel, like musicals in general, it's so hard to translate a stage production to a screen in general. It's not going to be as good. And so I do feel we've been judging this a bit unfairly. We might have had a different experience
would you have
in
enjoyed,
the theater.
Yeah, would you have enjoyed it more if you'd gone to the theater to see it? Would you have been more forgiving, perhaps?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. And in some ways, I think seeing everybody up close, seeing costumes up close, seeing all of that.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, too close doesn't. It's like that show, Is It a Cake? They have to watch. They look at the cake from like 15 feet away.
Well, I was going to
You would like
I
to look
thought,
at this further away?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
One of my notes that I didn't say was, would I have enjoyed this more if it had been filmed, you're right, not up close, but like from the middle of the room and the audience been full of people enjoying the show?
It's kind of like that Bo Burnham special for Chris Rock where Spike Lee is taking up so much attention because he's like in the front row, but you still feel like you're in the audience. And I do like that idea that like, I think that the audience not being here is a problem.
Because I agree.
This is like a Tony and Tina's wedding, a Charles and Diana wedding. I feel like it has like this element, but it's the wrong take for a story that is this dark.
Listen, I don't think this succeeds necessarily on stage either, but I don't, but I think I would have enjoyed it. I might have enjoyed it more and been more forgiving.
So you're saying your recommendation is go back in time and see it in the theater.
Yeah, I mean, again, it seems it's playing on every TV in our home right now.
We're making our children only watch
every
Diana.
One of those pro. That's why there's so many profiles on your Netflix, is so every TV can be playing this simultaneously.
Everyone in our house watches something so different, and it screws up everyone's algorithm. So I just made everyone their own profile.
Yeah, you did. You really did.
Is that for every app?
Pretty much. It's for Disney Plus, too. It's for... He wants his own... His content on his own.
Yeah.
He doesn't want
my content
the rest
on my own.
Us.
I just, like, I was having trouble with that Netflix algorithm because you are watching anything where people are getting murdered all the time. And I'm like, how can I find the Adam Project? It's like your version of Netflix. The Adam Project does not even exist.
Paul,
yeah.
The answer is don't find the Adam Project. Why are you looking for the Adam
it's
Project?
It's supposed to be great.
How do I find Free Guy?
Ryan Reynolds sent me a case of gin. He's a nice gentleman.
I do think this is something to behold, though. It's something to see. And none of the songs are memorable, but...
I would say they're impossible to even sing.
Sure.
So except for that gentleman there, there's nothing hooky about anything.
Yeah, there's nothing to hold on to.
It really just is sung exposition, you know, for the most part.
Well, good news. We're going to bring you to New York, and we're going to put this on for you, Jason. You are going to get to go and see this live
yeah!
in New York City. Let's go, everybody. We're all getting
the
on a plane right
outside.
Now.
The bus is outside. We're going to Broadway.
All right. Well, that is it. A big thank you to Avril Halley, who has been sitting on this one for a long time. She's like, this needed to be a live show because you need to talk about the wonderful staging, the beautiful costumes, and you need to see it to believe it. Up in the booth tonight, our amazing sound engineer, Devin Bryant, Alec Dixon up there working all the sound and lights and everything like that. Our producer, Cody Fisher, our producer, Molly Reynolds, and of course, Nate Kiley does all of our research. Thank you to Largo. This is amazing to be here. We will see you soon. We'll be back. And now we will give you a chance to take a picture. Here we go.
Hey, it's Jason Mantzoukas wishing Scott and everybody else of all stars and stripes a happy 15th anniversary, Comedy Bang Bang. You goddamn did it. Eat shit. Hang on, man.